Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 16 of CosPod. Yay!
Hi, everyone!
See, I can't do the thing with the two hands anymore showing the episode number, because I don't have six fingers.
I don't know.
Trying to think, wasn't Inigo Montoya six-fingered?
Yeah. No.
There was a six-fingered dude.
The guy who killed his father had six fingers.
Yeah. Yay, Princess Bride reference. I'm old.
I know, I'm just thinking all my friends who might be watching this are like, I know his name. I can't think of his name. I'm sorry.
I should know the name too, but sadly it has been years since I saw Princess Bride.
I just don't remember.
So anyways, on to cosplay, although Princess Bride could be considered cosplay in a sense. But yeah, we've been working hard. Not that we don't ever work hard, but we've been working really hard since episode 15.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, or wherever you end up showing up in relation to me.
Right now, I'm up here.
Okay. Someone has been working madly on Anime Fest stuff.
Yeah.
Which is you, and I have been off cavorting at conventions. Okay, which shall we start with? Convention or cost projects?
I do look at cost projects, because go into the convention. There you go.
Okay.
So make an easier transition for me to edit.
Okay. So, since you've been doing all the cost projects, why don't you go first?
My crap is pretty much done. Go me.
What have you been working on?
I like my detail. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm done.
How did you get to the done point?
I've been working every weekend.
Why don't you go on a resin rant?
No, I don't want to talk about resin anymore. Resin and I are very evil friends right now. Though we were able to figure out what my problem was, which we think it was that I wasn't using enough hardener, because I was making these really large glows, maybe about yay big, and it was cracking in the middle. We couldn't really figure out why. We figured that it may be the stress kind of caving in on itself and causing it to crack and then split out and make it really sticky again. If that makes any sense to anyone, I know I use zero technical terms in all of that mess. But when we finally figured out what was wrong with it, I don't really have any more resin to play with. And I don't want to spend another $30 on more resin. That may or may not work.
So understandable.
I'm not talking to resin for a while. That's going to be put aside for a couple of months. I'm done with it. Instead, I'm using Christmas ornaments.
There's nothing wrong with Christmas ornaments.
They are quite awesome.
And they're on sale right now, I think.
Yeah, in most places you can get them on sale because either Christmas is coming up and so they're either trying to get rid of last year's stock still or they're trying to get people to buy for this year's stock. So it's kind of
It's the latter. They're trying to get people to buy this year's stock so that they can buy more.
Yeah. And buy the really expensive Christmas trees. Which you may as well just wait until like February after Christmas when they're 90% off at Hobby Lobby.
Oh, heck, you can start the day after Christmas and they're, you know, 75% off.
I plan to go to Garden Ridge this year because Garden Ridge had a ton last year. And I think I'm going to pick up all my extra ornament pieces from there. For cosplay reasons. I deface holiday for cosplay.
Just a note for safety for fellow cosplayers. If you're going to slice glass ornaments in half, take precautions, please.
Oh, I use a plastic ornament. I don't press myself with glass.
Well, just saying that there are glass ornaments out there, and the really iridescent, kind of anodized-looking ones, those work really well.
Yeah.
You can use a Dremel to slice them open.
Just
be careful.
Be careful.
Yeah. Plastic has sharp edges, too, but not like glass. As I have found the hard way.
Yeah. I really don't want to cut myself a glass yet, so I'm still in plastic land. I'll stay in plastic land.
I reached for a falling glass to try and save it.
Oh, I bet that did not end well.
I got backlash. No, it did not end well.
But yeah.
Then I found out that you should not reach for falling glasses.
No, just let them fall.
Let it shatter.
It is what it is.
Ew, it was so close.
It's much safer to pick it up than to try to catch it. I know that seems kind of backwards, but it's true.
The word is counterintuitive.
Yes. I don't care. That's what my brain is today. It's the I don't care day. Stuff's getting done. I don't care.
As long as stuff is getting done.
Yeah. But yeah, all of my projects for Apex are pretty much finished. If anyone wants to see progress shots, I mean, I'll have a link, like, here. I'll post them on the CosPod Facebook and then link it back to my own personal page. And I'll probably put some photos up in here, too. There you go. More user interaction. Because some people have been telling us that we should have more photos of our projects in progress. So there's my mental note to myself while I'm listening and editing this. I'll put photos up.
Yeah, I need to be taking photos of what I'm working on. Sometimes I'm just too lazy to take out my camera.
For me, since I do, especially since I'm going to be teaching a how-to cosplay runway and I want to have portfolios passed around, I've just gotten to the habit of I always take pictures whenever I'm walking out.
This is why I don't have a portfolio.
I need to get you into that.
I don't know if I want to be a professional competition person.
Well, still amateur. I mean, you don't have to be a professional. You need to have a portfolio.
I'll just be a person that teaches people how to do it, and they say, okay, you go off and do it, and I'll just stand back here. I'll teach you how to do it, and you go do it. That's the story of my life. I did enough competing when I was in school that I don't know how much more I want.
Okay, that makes sense. I had the opposite.
I have everything but cosplay projects. No. I'm frantically trying to get Deedlet done for Anime Fest, and at the rate I'm able to work, it's not looking like I'm going to be able to finish in time. Yes, I know there's like 3 weeks at this point. I'm looking at the date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little over. It's like 3.5 weeks between right now when we're recording this and Anime Fest. It'll be 3 weeks by the time this drops. And I went and got the fabric last night, and I got most of the pieces cut out. But I'm finding I'm going to stitch the doll of them, and there are several of them, so that's going to take time. And doing the cording is going to take time. And I still have to get the heat gun so that I can properly do the armor and then figure out. That's one of the things I hate about armor. I love making armor, but then you have to figure out how you're supposed to attach it to your body.
Yeah.
And make it look right. Because you can't just attach it willy-nilly to your body. It has to look a certain way. And that's really hard sometimes.
That's an understatement.
So I haven't figured out I'm going to attach the Deedlet armor yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of need to work that out before I make the armor.
It might be a good idea.
Yeah, it just might. So I may end up taking a toned-down version of Deedlet to Anime Fest without the full armor if I can't get it done, just because, yeah, I have 3 weeks, and then I'm starting school again, mm-hmm. which is going to seriously basically eliminate all my free time.
Yeah.
And I'm starting school the week of Anime Fest, which is normally cosplay crunch week for cosplayers. So I've basically lost that entire week for being able to work on it. So basically I'm down to like 2 weeks to work on it now. Speaking of other conventions.
Yeah, but the roll forward, so I'm sure that we're going to be running overtime again.
It's fine. DFW Costumers Guild, or DFWCG for short, had their very first convention on July 28th, which was a Saturday, and it was called Lost Weekend. I'm still not entirely sure why it was called Lost Weekend, but it was. And it was basically a one-day conference, is a better word, to show off various panelists showing different techniques and talking about, you know, different aspects of costuming. Of course, they usually call it costuming as opposed to cosplay, since it focuses more on the actual aspects of making the costume and not the play aspect of cosplay. So it's the costs and not the play. But yeah, I taped a really rambling sort of review since I was really tired at that point, because it was also another convention where they didn't have 15-minute breaks. They literally went back to back to back to back to back with all their panels, with the exception of a really quick lunch break. So I was really tired.
Plus, but you enjoyed it, didn't you?
Huh?
You did enjoy it, though, didn't you?
Oh, I loved it. We need one of those every single weekend.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we need more panelists to teach things like this, because they don't have these sort of things at Akon Anime Fest, and they should. But it's, again, costuming versus cosplay. A lot of these people may not necessarily have the same sort of take on things.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not go to things like Akon or Anime Fest. But at any rate...
You see, I do know that one of their members last year was a judge at Anime Fest, so...
Oh, I know a couple of their members do actually have the same interests.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different.
But the panelists do not have those interests. So that said, why don't we move on to playing the review? I am back from the DFW Costumers Guild Lost Weekend Convention. It's probably more properly called a conference, but I'll get to that in just a second. This was their very first convention. DFW Costumers Guild hasn't done anything like this just yet. So this was kind of a little bit of an experiment, but wow, did it go really well. It was held at the Crown Plaza in Addison, Texas, which is a gorgeous hotel if you've never been there. Everything feels very personal. I wanted to go to this because they offered a couple of panels that sounded really interesting to me. And... it dovetails really well with the whole reason why I started this podcast, in that I want to learn more about cosplay. I want to learn from other people who have been doing it, you know, longer than I've been alive. And they do it really well. And this was one of those conventions where, yeah, these people have been doing it for a really long time, and they know what they're talking about. And so I wanted to attend as an attendee, realistically, so that I could be there and I could learn. So they held 6 panels in total. I was able to attend 5 of them. And, wow, there was just so much covered. The very first panel was on photography and cosplay. And initially I went in thinking that it was going to be a panel about photography and cosplayers, like models, like, you know, doing the whole sort of posing thing. But this actually dealt more with the costume, the clothing itself, which is a valid point. I agree that, yes, there is something to be said for getting the detail, the texture of a costume, because I've seen a lot of cosplayers comment when photographers take excellent pictures that actually show even the texture of the fabric that they used. And you can tell just by the texture what kind of fabric they used if you've worked with fabric long enough. And Crandall, the panelist, definitely knows what he's doing. Wow. I talked with him kind of in and out of the panel when he wasn't teaching and during the breaks in the other panels, and he gave me a lot of good tips and a lot of little tricks that I didn't know about in photography that we will be using for Cospod the next time we are out at a convention at Anime Fest.
And the photographer should get the makeup and hair person to do 90% of the adjustments. The photographer, unless you know the model really well, should not touch the model. It can create problems in the long run. but she doesn't mind, so. Terry, would you move your chair? We're going to try to do more of a shadow. So we can try to pick more of this up.
They ran right afterward. They didn't really have scheduled breaks in between the panels, which actually in hindsight would have been kind of helpful just for a mental reset. The next one was Big Hair, or Big Edwardian Hair, and I was asked by the convention not to film this one. So unfortunately I don't have any clips for you for that one, but I did attend the panel. I just didn't record it or film it. And, wow, women did really different things in the 20s and 30s. Jen, the panelist, mostly focused on 1910, 20, 30, 40 as her timeline of choice. And, of course, they gave us these really cool little handouts. Flash that for you really quickly. This is actually an entire packet. She did a lot of good research, and she had a lot of good books, too. And this was probably one of the most hands-on panels, which I really appreciate, not because the other panels weren't great, but because, you know, there are many different learning styles, and I happen to be somebody who's a very visual learner. And if I can't have the visuals, then kinesthetic is the next best thing, being able to touch things. So to have somebody actually doing these techniques in front of me was very helpful, even though I couldn't film them to look at them afterward. But a lot of the things that she covered applied to cosplay wigs as well. They even discussed making wefts in the panel, which I thought was really neat. So all in all, it covered exactly what it needed to cover. I kind of do wish that there was more time for questions, but unfortunately they had to break for lunch, which I understand, because people at a convention should eat, and should eat well. So they had to take a break right afterward. But I did get a chance to see her actually doing, she chose a couple of audience members and actually did their hair Edwardian style, and it was actually really cool. I almost volunteered for it, actually, but I had my own hair in elaborate sushi rolls in the back of my head, and it would have been a pain to redo it afterward. So then after lunch, we started back up again with vintage patterns, and I was really interested in seeing this one simply because I've seen a lot of vintage patterns, but women back in the day were not quite my proportions, so I wasn't entirely sure it would prove useful for me. But Ginger, who did these panels, she's a very big Civil War era kind of buff, that sort of era of clothing, and she's really enthusiastic about her craft, and she had a lot of ancient patterns for us to look at. And she was even wearing a pattern of a costume made from a vintage pattern, which I thought was very neat too, to have, you know, a representation of what you're about to teach. And she had a really great sense of humor, very relatable to the crowd. It was a very good mix of both broad information and specific information, which I found really good too.
So, basic understanding of how pattern grading works is really helpful if you do need to adjust something. For me, when I have to do something that's a lot slender in the hips, I need to know how to grade out on the side seams. And I've had some successful ones, and I've had some not successful ones. And I also experimented with going to size 18 and grading in for the waist, and that really didn't work well on one curve in particular. So fit the waist. I'm going to get to that actually. Oh no, that's right there. Fit the waist. Yeah. That is. You can do a full bust adjustment, you can do a small bust adjustment, you can increase the hip if you need to. But I got in serious grief on the skirt I made when I tried to redraw the hip, or the waistline.
Speaking of great panelists, Steve and Deb were the next set of panelists, and they started out with props and gadget construction. which of course is one of our most requested panels whenever we do things at conventions ourselves for Val and I. And as somebody who is a burgeoning prop maker, so you see I have, well, maybe you can't see, but I have a ton of props mounted on my walls. And I started wanting to get into electronics and moving pieces of props, so I was really hoping they would cover this. And, of course, these are the two people who did the really awesome steampunk costumes at AllCon. And Steve has also done one of the better Iron Man costumes from AllCon. In fact, I believe he won a prize for it a few years ago, which I thought was really neat. And they brought a ton of stuff to show and tell. Of course, they also had a handout, which ended up basically being an outline of the panel. But I find these really good, especially for visual learners like me, so that you can follow along. And of course, the nice thing about a handout is that they can list resources that they've used afterward, and I actually ended up talking with Steve over lunch about some of his suppliers and where he gets his resources, because he builds armor. And I also build armor, but I hate having to rebuild it every single year, because it gets damaged somehow. Unfortunately, you know, craft foam armor can only take so much of a beating, especially if it's painted and you get cracks in the paint and all that. So I've always wanted to work with styrene, with Wonderflex, friendly plastic, all the different thermoplastics. So I ended up talking to him over lunch and got a lot of information out. That's one of the better things you can do at conventions. Talk to the panelists, even just outside of the panel, because you can learn just as much from them outside of the panel as you did inside the panel. And that's what I did here.
Let's talk for a minute about non-permanent. Everybody knows about GoPro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, GoPro. Yes, GoPro.
Yes.
There are also other ways to attach things, one of which is magnets. The neodymium, that's the way it's pronounced, magnets, but little tiny, super rare earth, very powerful magnets. Works is fantastic.
Yeah, well, your children have them. My son decided it'd be cool to hold that. And then it snapped so hard it scared him that he tried to grab it out and it literally screamed up his nose. Bleeding, screaming at mommy, called my husband screaming at him, why would you even own these things? I'm ready to go to the emergency room. Matt comes home and, you know, that you can put them on the end of a little thing to get stuff out of your engine if you drop the screw. Did it occur to me to take one on the other side? It dropped out. So, not for children.
They're very powerful. And a technique, a new technique to work with them is to take a piece of wax paper and let the two magnets snap together so they align themselves, the wax paper in between. Then you take the two objects you want to hold together and drill holes, put them in position, and then lay epoxy, like either JB Weld or 5-minute epoxy, on the back side, covering up the magnets. When that's completely set, then you can pull out the wax paper. And the wax paper keeps the adhesive from getting in and around and binding to the other side. It allows the magnets to line up within a thousandth of an inch of each other. And you wind up with magnets that are then flush with the material you're working with, which makes it almost invisible.
Okay, so next, this was Deb's panel. This is sci-fi costuming, and she, like everybody else, nice outline. This one was actually front and back. Has a lot of resources listed on it for sci-fi costumes, and she also had a stack of books, a stack of patterns. There was definitely a lot of show and tell, and it was very broad. It was kind of an overview of what sci-fi costuming is, and sometimes panels like that are a good thing. I would have liked to get a few more specifics, like specifically what kind of materials can you use in sci-fi? You know, specifically what sort of design elements make a costume sci-fi? And I know a lot of this is dependent on imagination, because of course you have everything basically from BraveStar to Star Trek to Star Wars, even to things like Dune and Battlestar Galactica. Just totally different shows, and everything is based on someone's imagination. So I can understand that basically they say, well, whatever you imagine it to be, it can be a sci-fi costume, or it's whatever fabric you think looks sci-fi. those things have value, but at the same time, somebody like me that isn't very good at creating from whole cloth, I'm more of the engineering type where I can put something together given instructions. So it would have been helpful if there had been some really solid examples of, you know, what makes a sci-fi costume sci-fi. Especially when dealing with things like Star Wars and Star Trek. But I was really happy that she covered the research into costumes, because whenever you make a costume, research, research, research. Everything has to be researched if you want to be, you know, true to form. And I was really glad that she covered that. And she covered it very well.
One thing to think about is your character, are you looking for the fashion or function? Basically, is your character working? And I picked the Fifth Element because Corbin Dallas is a taxi cab driver. And you see him in his day-to-day work clothes. You also see him in a tuxedo relaxing later. Pass it around. The diva, who's an opera singer, you kind of see in a strange-looking burka-type outfit at first, and then she has it off and she sings. And then Lilu, how many sing with white bandages? I mean, really, some of those people. Bold, brave. So, are they working? So if he's working as a cab driver, I think that orange t-shirt's appropriate. If the character enjoying some leisure time, perhaps, and then they would be dressed a little bit differently from how they would if they were working.
The very last panel of the day, this was the big one and the whole reason I admit that I went to the convention in the first place. This is the one that pushed me over the edge to go, ah, I have to go. And this was lighting for props and cosplay. Lighting as in the really neat, glowy stuff that I kind of previewed at ACON, but this was more in depth. This was the one that I wanted to see because I was hoping they'd show you how they actually build these things. And so, of course, handy-dandy outline. And Steve taught this one. And, wow, did he bring a lot of lighted toys. And the thing I liked most about this panel, you know, technical explanations and such aside, because Steve definitely knows what he's doing, and you can ask him almost anything, and he will be able to answer it or tell you where to look for the answer. So he passed around a lot of the stuff that he had with him. And it was really neat to see these things in prototype stage and in finished stage. And while some of the techniques talked about were very basic, like scavenging parts and such to where you don't actually have to build your own, he did actually cover, in basic, how to make your own. You know, what you need for soldering, what sort of things you need to think about when wiring LEDs with batteries and resistors and such. And it was a good intro panel. And it's one of those things where if he had a part two, I would totally attend that. Because the part two, it gets me just as excited as the part one did. So, that being said, with all the glowy toys you got to play with, and, you know, for a while I actually almost stopped focusing on what he was saying because I was sitting there with a glowing toy in my hand that if I tapped it, it made, you know, really pretty lights. He also brought some clothing that he had custom wired himself. Very, very geeky Star Trek style jackets that had little glowing LEDs embedded in them. So it was really kind of neat to geek out over lighted glowing things mounted on other geeky things and to have someone to talk about that with.
Eventually, if you're making electronic things, you want to try your hand at making a circuit board. It's not really as hard to make it back. Circuit boards come with copper on one side and use what is called a resist pen to mark the tracings. Well, the resist pen is actually a very fine tip like a marker. It's all there. And after you draw the lines that you want and drill your holes, you use a material called ferric chloride to etch away the copper. It takes about 15 minutes. Ferric chloride is a powder. You just mix it with water. You pour it into a tray. You drop in your circuit board. You agitate it about once a minute or so, and in 15 minutes, you take it out and wash it off. and it eats away all the thin copper, leaving behind the copper that was protected by that.
Big thanks to Maggie and to the DFW Costumers Guild for having me for the entire convention. Unfortunately, Val wasn't able to be there as she had other obligations come up last minute. But definitely, I will be going back the next time they have one of these, assuming they have another one of these. And hopefully they can find a venue where they can have panelists regularly, as to the best of my understanding, this is something they've been looking for. Definitely something I would attend. Also, if you are interested in joining the DFW Costumers Guild, they definitely deserve our support. I highly recommend joining them. Membership is a very, very reasonable price. You can check them out on their website, which is www.dfwcg.org, as in DFW Costumers Guild, so dfwcg.org. And they have all the information on upcoming events, membership, how to join them. They have all any fees listed. They have contact information if you need to contact the members. And when they do have events, they actually fully list their schedule online, panel descriptions, even little miniature panelist bios, which I thought was really neat, so I could read up on the panelists before I attended. So all in all, definitely recommend it. I had a blast. Can't wait to be back. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And that was DFW Costumers Guild Lost Weekend. And welcome back.
Yay!
Hopefully that wasn't too terrible.
Yeah.
of a segment and a review. I do apologize in advance. Well, I guess this wouldn't be in advance. I apologize after the fact that we aren't able to show the panels from DFWCG in full. We were actually asked not to by the convention, as it's their private convention, and we were lucky enough for them to let us in to film them in the first place and have a look at them and cover them. And it's a great group. I fully support them. I think that anybody that can be a member should be. You know, if I had a little bit more spare income, I probably would be too. But I do, you know, I do again apologize that, yeah, we have clips. They did ask us not to upload their panels in full to protect the information from the panelists.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. But that aside, yeah. We have a lot coming up very, very shortly.
We do. We have so much stuff. Ugh.
We have episode 17 coming up. 17 is going to be our cost stories episode.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to those of you who have already sent in your stories to us, whether through Facebook, DA, email, any of these methods. You're still more than welcome to send in your stories, as we would love to hear them. We've gotten some great submissions thus far. If you want your submission to be aired on the episode, you need to have it in by noon on August 12th. That way we have enough time to record the episode and have time for post-production before we have to release it the very next weekend.
Because mm-hmm.
this will be the one that drops right before Anime Fest. So please give us the courtesy of sending it in by August 12th if you'd like it on the episode. You can still send it in after that. It just won't be on episode 17.
It'll just be on a future one.
Yeah. We'll do this again. This is not a one-off. We have many cosplay stories.
I get to tell my Captain America story. Yay!
But episode 18 will be at Anime Fest. Unfortunately, we don't have an official room panel slot.
But that's okay.
But we'll figure out something.
There's plenty of time for us to figure out something.
Yes. So hopefully at the end of episode 17, we will have a place and a time set, and we will get that out to you guys as soon as possible so that hopefully some of you who are at Anime Fest can attend. Because
mm-hmm.
we would like to have an audience for the live recording so that we don't look like two dunces just talking to themselves on a camera. Like we do every episode.
Wait a minute. Wait, hang on. I know we're just talking heads, but I don't know about this.
It wasn't supposed to come off that way.
And yet, it did.
You know what I meant. We would like to have an audience.
We want real people watching us.
Yes. We would like people to attend our live recording. Which, incidentally, Anime Fest is at Sheraton. Don't go to the Hyatt Regency. It's not there. Go to the Sheraton.
That's They'll look at me funny, and then they'll send you our way.
Yes. we will try our best to widely market where and when we'll be having this.
Absolutely.
So we've got 17 and 18 coming, and Anime Fest coming, and I think that's plenty.
I think that's plenty of stuff for the listeners.
That is plenty for the time being. Also, if you have feedback on our new website, which by this point is no longer really new, but newer website, or
it's got
our
new car smell still.
Yes, or our newer podcast format, which is much more winging it.
Open and free, and
yes.
Not spoiling.
If you have an opinion on this, if you like it, if you prefer the old way we were doing things, whether with the podcast or the website, if you have suggestions on how we can improve it, or things that you'd like to see us include, please feel free to contact us at podcast@cospod.org. We do personally read every single email we get, and we personally respond to them.
Sometimes, twice.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get an individual response both from myself and from Val. So you know that we're both actively reading them and answering them. We do care about the people who watch this podcast, and we care what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say a big thank you to those who have written in already, giving us feedback on the podcast. I know PJ'd wrote in, so shout out to PJ'd.
Thank you.
Thank you for the feedback. I know we also had, I want to say her name is Nightmare or Night Rider.
I don't think
we had a listener from Russia write in, which I thought
yeah.
was awesome. And she sent us one of the stories that we'll be using in episode 17, but she also gave us feedback on the podcast.
Absolutely.
We will be taking that into account.
Yay!
So big thanks to those who have written in already. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes. Not only does that help us gauge how we're doing, but it also raises our podcast ranking so that more people see the podcast in our category. The higher the ranking, the more people see it, and the more downloads we'll get. All of which are good things.
We approve.
We do, in fact, approve. So please, if you have the time, just take 30 seconds, head over to iTunes, and at least rate the podcast, if not write a review. And thank you in advance. So with that, we will end this episode 16. Next episode is Cos Stories.
Time to go to bed. Night, guys.
Good night, Internet.